Welcome, everyone, to the AI in Business podcast. I'm Matthew DeMello, Senior Editor here at Emerge Technology Research. Anuj Manyar is a principal at Deloitte, specializing in financial services. He joins Emerge CEO and Head of Research Daniel Fajella on today's podcast to discuss the dynamics of balancing customer expectations and channel strategy for financial institutions. Later, they discuss emerging AI use cases throughout the multi-channel space, including after-call work in customer service. Today's episode is sponsored by Deloitte, and without further ado, here's their conversation.
So, Anuj, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Yeah, glad to be able to dive in to the customer service side of financial services. Lots to talk about and unpack, but I always like to begin with trends and challenges. You're seeing generative AI enter insurance and investment banking and every other portion of financial services, and you're seeing new dynamics arise and maybe concerns arise. What for you are kind of the driving trends that are kind of defining the adoption of this technology?
The biggest trends we're seeing is that AI and Gen AI are really making an impact on solving the equation that most service executives have dealt with since I started operating this space 25 years ago, which is how do I deal with increasing customer expectations with increasing pressure on my budgets? I need to be able to do more with less. And the trends we're seeing are the adoption of AI to really help solve that equation, whether it comes in the form of conversational AI, generative AI, or simple just brute force analytics that tell me more about what customer needs are and how I can solve them efficiently.
Yeah, and there's multiple dynamics to kind of pick apart here. On the side of increasing customer expectations, you and I were talking off microphone about how, despite what's going on in the financial markets or to companies, people's expectations around how they're being treated, whether it's via phone, via chat, on an FAQ site or something like that, are going to be level set by all the other great technology companies that they're interacting with, you know, whether it's the, you know, Amazons of the world or whatever else. And so those pressures are increasing. How would you sum up, I guess, the origin of this pressure to increase the where these increased customer expectations are coming from? Do you see it more on text than invoice? Do you see it? Is there any detail to that that maybe our listeners should be aware of?
We definitely see it. We definitely see it across channels. And what I'll say there is the biggest pressure point is on how integrated channels should be to solve a customer's issue. So, you know, we've all heard the term omnichannel over and over and again, and we know it means a lot of different things to different people.
Yes.
I personally believe in what's called right channeling. And that is the pressure that we're seeing. It's what's the right channel or what's the right sequence of channels to service a customer's need. It's not just make all channels available to serve all types of needs. I mean, we've had clients that have done things like made a social media channel available in financial services when, from a servicing perspective, you can't really address a customer's issue in a social media channel. You immediately have to switch them.
Yeah.
So the question then is, what is the real channel strategy? If it's going to be an issue that requires a human being, or it's going to be an issue that requires a level of authentication that needs to push out of a social media channel, then orchestrate that for the customer. That's the pressure we're seeing. It's don't do what others have done in terms of just proliferating channels. Create connections between the channels to serve our needs.
Do you see enough bigger organizations doing enough of that where if I'm a financial services company and I'm not, right, I'm maybe railroading somebody into a channel that isn't really right for their question, where they're feeling that overtly now as a frustration? Is this both a now pressure and something they're thinking is going to arrive in the future?
It is a now pressure. It usually is a result of disconnected channel strategies and almost a organizational structure issue in many of these large financial services companies, where the digital channel is owned by one organization, the contact center channel is owned by another organization. In a bank, the branch channel is owned by, you know, the head of the retail bank. And bringing those groups together can be challenging in some of these larger institutions and even in smaller institutions. So some of it is a result of the organizational structure within these financial services companies. And then other challenges are really a result of a patchwork of technologies and an underlying data infrastructure that can't create that right channeling strategy that helps service a customer in a sequenced way, carrying information from first channel to second channel to third channel.
Yeah, and we're going to get a little bit into that in the use cases, but I do want to touch on the other side of the pressure. There's these increased expectations. There's also this crunch for costs. So it's a little bit of a rock and a hard place for folks who are leading customer experience, customer support. You know, what's kind of the fast version for the folks tuned in terms of why costs are being pressured so much for the customer support part of FinServ? What are some of those big dynamics that are driving that are on people's minds?
Sure. I'll start with the insurance sector. On the P&C insurance side, at least on the personal line side, the carriers have just been really hit hard with inflationary pressures. The cost to replace, you know, what it costs to replace the bumper has gone up and up and up. And those cost pressures, you know, have resulted in, you know, over 100 combined ratios that the carriers have to deal with through looking at their operating expenses. On the life insurance side, similarly, years and years of pressure from low interest rate environment where their conservative investment portfolios just haven't made big returns. Now there's been a bit of a, you know, a reprieve there as rates have increased. But on the insurance side overall, the sector has been under tremendous pressure. Banking right now is dealing with, you know, a series of crises that have put a ton of pressure on the banks, not only their balance sheets, but their income statements. They are competing now for deposits in a way that they haven't had to compete in a very long time, raising their costs on and reducing their net interest income. And so there is a push to look for where are there places in our operations where we can reduce costs. And then finally, on the asset management side, you know, again, we were talking off camera, Dan, you know, there's mutual fund providers, ETF providers now where there is no fee on those investments, right? There's so much downward pressure on those fees that you have to create a customer service organization that's really efficient to be able to drive profitability off of, yes, increasing AUM, but decreasing fees on the top of AUM.
Yeah, and I hate to admit, I'm definitely one of those Vanguard types. So the fact that they still have to service me, I can actually sympathize now that you're articulating it out loud here, Anuj. So
a few phone calls into the call center and they're losing money on you.
That's exactly it. I, to be frank, I can't remember if I ever have called them, but now I know that despite how long I've been with them, man, it's a tough road for those folks. So God bless them. With that said, we've got trends that are substantial. We also have opportunities that are unlike anything we've seen before. The previous kind of chatbot AI wave just was quite a gag and really didn't turn into very much. But now we're seeing AI with very robust capabilities in text and voice, and it's not quite implemented yet, but the possibilities are clear. When you think about use cases, I know you've got a bit of kind of a three-factor model for weighing a use case that you kind of advise financial services leaders to think about, the idea of desirability, feasibility, viability. Maybe we can talk about that first, and then I'd love to poke into a couple specifics after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'd say is the service leaders I've been meeting with in financial services, look, they know their businesses. They know what's driving costs. they have no shortage of use cases where new cloud AI technologies can be applied. But one of the challenges is really understanding what's desirable by the customer, what's going to actually get adopted. You know, like you talked about, you know, there's been no shortage of self-service capabilities that have been put into the marketplace that customers just don't use. So is it going to be desirable? Is it going to be feasible to deliver, right? And again, going back to the chatbot craze, what often came to fruition when a pilot was launched was, okay, we're gonna do a chatbot. It's gonna help answer these 7 questions, and then you would get into it, and it was like, wait, but to expose the backend platform to actually be able to take a payment from a customer, we can't expose that. It's too difficult. It's some legacy mainframe. Like, we'd have to build an API layer on top of it. So like that, what's really feasible? And then, oh, how much would it cost us to do that? Oh, and we deflect 40% of the calls at, you know, and the business cases would fall apart because of the feasibility side. And then from a viability, it really does get into the business case side. And this is where, you know, Gen AI, it has a ton of promise. But what some of our clients aren't factoring in is there is a cost. There is a real cost of Absolutely. Running information through a large language model. There's a real cost of creating the right environment where your data is protected, which of course is infinitely important to our financial services clients. So using that framework is really critical in evaluating the use cases and really looking at all three of those dimensions. I have a client who talked to me about having a list of 200 use cases that they think are ready to go for Gen AI. And we went through this process with them and really whittled it down to about 12 that yeah. made any type of sense or that were doable in the next year to year and a half, given some of the feasibility constraints.
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge because I think, and maybe you're seeing something a little bit different, Anuj, but leadership, you know, the level of AI fluency is much, much, much higher than it was 5 years ago, which is wonderful, but it's still not spectacular. And so a lot of the use cases we're seeing are still inspired by the same kind of, you know, FOMO motives that yes. maybe drew the chatbot thing to come to pass. So, hey, you know, well, the boss is asking what we're doing about Gen AI when it comes to this random use case, because some other company tweeted it, even though they're not doing anything about it. And so we wanted to have a bunch of use cases around that. And I think sometimes you do need a measured voice that can come in and say, hey, here's what the technology is capable of. This is what's realistic given our infrastructure. This is what the cost of this would actually be. And to have a little bit of structure to saying yes, no. When you think about who needs to be in the room to do that, one of the challenging things we see, Anuj, is we don't always have all the perspectives we need, right? We need somebody that at least gets a little bit of maybe our IT infrastructure, the state of our data. We might need somebody that understands AI at least a conceptual level, maybe even a technical level, to really give a thumbs up, thumbs down on things like cost and viability and whatnot. Who's got to have the talk about desirability, feasibility, viability? Because you and I both know sometimes if it's just the C-suite and a couple advisors and they've been reading Twitter and getting excited, they could have this conversation. It wouldn't be productive. You know, who's got to be there? Who's got to be there?
We firmly believe it needs to be a cross-functional team that's looking at these things. It's interesting, right? So the phenomenon right now is, you know, people are being tasked with come up with your Gen AI use cases, right? CEO mandate down. The first to run at that is usually somebody from the analytics team, the IT team, and they're great thinkers at how you could apply a technology. And in many cases, the operations person isn't brought in till way too late in the process. And really thinking about the implications of what does it mean to apply that type of technology into a large-scale operation or a complicated operation, that's one of the things that has to be factored in. So long way of me saying it really does need to be a cross-functional team that comes in and looks at these things. And not to say ideas can't be generated. Ideas should be generated from every part of the organization, because different parts of the organization have a different perspective and know where the application can be done. We've seen some great ideas come out of tax or legal parts of the organization because they understand where some of the kind of rote, human-based work that could be automated could be reduced. The issue, though, is at some point those teams have to coalesce. They have to go through some type of framework like the desirability, feasibility, viability, and come to an alignment on what to push forward.
Yeah, sooner rather than later to have the right eyes in the room, as opposed to get excited, brainstorm for months, plan to push something forward, and then, like you said, eventually have the operations person come in and say, guys, how or would we ever do this?
I'll give you a good example of one that
go for it.
That we're seeing and we're executing with some clients in market. So in the service space, after a customer talks to a representative, a banker, a customer service representative, a claims representative on the insurance side, there is always what's called after call work, right? The representative hangs up the phone and has to take some notes, collect some next steps, maybe, execute, something in a workflow that passes work on to the next person who has to help complete the task. One of the use cases we are seeing where Gen AI has a ton of opportunity and impact is around that summarization and accurately collecting and then indicating what was said on the call, what decisions were made, and doing it very quickly, right? And in what would usually be a 3-4 minute exercise by a customer service rep, it's a 30-second summarization. We always focus on having a human in the loop. You'll hear Deloitte uses the phrase often, human plus machines is where we need to be going from an AI perspective. And so use Gen AI to do that summarization off of a transcript that's being real time created as the conversation's happening, have the human in the loop to confirm it. That is one of those that is great for employee experience because the employees don't want to do that after call work, and great for an efficiency standpoint because you've probably eliminated 3 minutes off the back end of every call.
Yeah. Okay. It's also, it seems like maybe you've gotten a sense of this as well. I do recall one of the elements of the sort of chatbot, flimsy that we had years ago that really made it flop was the idea that this was facing customers. We were going to have AI come up with an answer and a customer was going to read it. We've seen sometimes these new waves be more safely experimented with in places where if there's an error, no customer has a rough time. And this use case you're articulating of after call work, if an entire paragraph was missing or some goofy word got inserted while we're still experimenting with things, the downsides feel, all things considered, potentially less consequential or at least overtly embarrassing than if we're customer facing. Do you think a lot of early experimentation is going to happen with use cases of that kind?
Absolutely, on the Gen AI side. Yeah. I think there will, and especially in financial services, there will be a real reluctance to expose Gen AI directly to customers and for it to be used as that enabler, that augmentation to the human being. And I do think we'll see a lot of that, whether it's, the after call work, whether it's a whisper type agent that's listening to the call, prompting a customer service representative with ways that they could help a customer. Those are the type of applications that from a Gen AI standpoint, we see companies willing to experiment with and put into production.
Got it. And so this is helpful. And I think for the listeners tuned in, if they went through that last big phase of customer facing AI and sort of the drawback that happened immediately, it might behoove them to sort of tune into this idea of experimenting a little bit more on that stuff that doesn't always directly interact with the customers first. What are some of the other use cases maybe of that ilk that for you are pretty exciting and are areas of opportunity that customer service leaders should at least be taking into consideration?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we've always talked about from a customer service perspective is how do we get more proactive, you know, with our customer service? How do we, instead of waiting for a customer to go online and have to self-service themselves or call us, we're informing them of what may come next. And this will be a little bit of a blend of what I'd call just good analytics and customer engagement with a little bit of Gen AI. But, you know, for most of our customers, we know when they reach out, right? They reach out, you know, let's say if I've got a credit card bill due 3 to 7 days before, if I've got my auto insurance is due every 6 months and the person's going to start looking, you know, call it 3 to 4 weeks before that, you know, pretty hefty bill is due if you're on a semi-annual policy. We need to do more on proactively reaching out to them, informing them of things like, what are your options? Do you need it? You know, can we spread the payment? Can we change the payment date to match, you know, when your next paycheck is coming in? And doing those reach outs, just using a good understanding of who's calling and when and what they're calling about, and then pairing that with, you know, the right messages that go out in an automated way, whether it's email, text if you're allowed and you've gotten permission, you know, more effective, of course. But those type of use cases, which again, it's not a Gen AI use case, right?
Yeah, perfectly fine. It doesn't have to be.
It's the type of things that we should be doing in service much more regularly. Now, will Gen AI have a role in that? Yes. I do think that as our clients or customers get more comfortable with Gen AI created content, personalizing that outreach message using Gen AI is a perfect use case. And personalizing at a cost that may be the tenth of what it would cost to do that using traditional methods. That's where, when you mentioned earlier, where are people going? Like, this shift from customer service being this reactive organization to being a proactive organization, that is some of the promise that Gen AI brings.
And I think one of the things that we've been hearing about in many conversations, we just had the CTO of DataRobot on not that long ago. We had a great call with Goldman not that long ago with their AI leadership. We're seeing this sort of idea of stitching together Gen AI and existing systems in some way. You mentioned, you know, a great use case that does involve Gen AI. And I think any listener who's tuned in, use the right tool for the job, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, right. don't use something shiny for its own sake. I mean, if there's any war drum that we beat here at Emerge, it's exactly that. But I would say, to your point, maybe there's a way to sort of filter for and predict and maybe notify a customer before kind of an issue comes about. That could be number one, and that might not involve any generative AI. Maybe that's just some statistics, ML, whatever we got to use there. But maybe there is a next step where generative AI gets layered on top of that, where we can create sort of the right message for them. You know, we know their demographics, we know the kind of products they like to buy, et cetera. And maybe at some point that next step can get stitched on. So in some ways it's not, let's have the whole process taken over by Gen AI. Let's think about how far we can stretch with predictive, and then maybe let's tack Gen AI on where it can add value and it can be accumulative in that sense. Would you concur with that general vision?
Absolutely. So brute force information on who the customers are, add on a predictive model that says, hey, we think these customers are the ones that are going to call in, and then, you know, then get to a, and let's personalize that message based on who we are. That's exactly the type of approach that incrementally delivers value.
Yeah.
Right. Each step in that process is going to create value for the customer and the organization.
Big time. So maybe a good way for people at home sort of thinking about what use cases they might want to use to go through that kind of set of progressive steps. Think about what could be an extension from here, an extension from there. And thinking of getting started and picking use cases, et cetera, you've given us a rule of thumb of sort of these three dimensions to consider, some about the cross-functional team that needs to be involved, a good panoply of use cases where there's a lot of value in the relatively near term. What do you have for sort of parting advice for leaders who are thinking about, you know, maybe they run call center, maybe they just run customer experience in general within FinServe. They're thinking about how to get started. What are some of the other considerations or takeaway notes for them?
Yeah, I'll go back to humans and machines. There is a real fear among customer service folks, right? The employees that really do the great job that, you know, companies ask them to do in interfacing with their clients. There's a fear that, one, they're going to be replaced. Two, every word they say is going to be scrutinized, or every email they write is going to be scrutinized. And there is a real opportunity to talk about how AI and these capabilities are an enabler, not a replacement. And leading with that vision. And I'm not trying to say, I won't speak out of both sides of my mouth and say there's not cost pressures. There are cost
pressures.
Will it result in a contact center requiring less people? Yes, it absolutely should. But we've shown when somebody in a contact center, for example, gets to solve a client's problem and a complex problem for a client, their employee satisfaction goes up significantly. Their satisfaction with the job, their retention rate, all of those things. So if we can start bringing these technologies together and to our employees in a way that they see them as enabling them to solve the problem of the customer more effectively, more efficiently, if they can move on to solving higher level challenges, serving clients in bigger and broader ways, they're going to be happier employees. And we've all lived through the last few years of, you know, 100% attrition within some of our service organizations. Like, we can't go back to that. It's not good for our customers. It's not good for us. So really being tight on the message of what we're trying to achieve, and not being disingenuous, but that what we're trying to achieve is, yes, better efficiency, better customer experience, a better employee experience. I think that's a key element that organizations need to lean into as they embark on conversational AI, Gen AI, you know, good predictive analytics, like you said, any of those efforts.
Yeah, this is, you know, what kind of comes to mind, Anuj, as you're speaking, you know, in terms of nutshelling this, I'd love to get your feedback, make sure I'm not putting this in the wrong light here. But the idea is that maybe the next step forward is a sort of vision for the contact center that, yes, maybe does involve less, you know, of certain kinds of redundant tasks. I do think there's a very honest frame here that, hey, maybe we don't need as many people to do certain things, but also maybe we want kind of a new normal, so to speak, that involves vastly higher employee satisfaction in terms of success rate with handling customer issues, in terms of the ease of doing their work, in terms of taking away some of the busy work that for the most part is annoying for them, and saying, hey, yes, there's cost pressures, but can we share a vision with those boots on the ground team members and with leadership to say, let's get to a new normal where customers are happier, people internally are happier, and we settle to that man-machine combo that's gonna really hit the sweet spot for both of those.
Yeah, I think you hit it. The one tweak I would make is, instead of using contact center or call center, I would call it our customer experience, our customer service organization that could span the bank branch, the contact center, heck, the ATM, or the insurance agent, the contact center, the digital experiences we've created on the mobile app. Like,
it's the whole gamut.
That's what I would say is to really unlock the power and value of these technologies. We have to think differently outside of our individual channels. There's been so much optimization done within each of the individual channels that future optimization and value that's going to come from AI, Gen AI, predictive analytics, it comes from those capabilities really enabling the set of customer service, customer experience channels.
Well, I've certainly got my fingers crossed that this technology can be a big part of what makes multimodal come to life. I know that's certainly something you believe in, and it seems like that's inevitably the path that we're on. So hopefully the leaders who are tuned in kind of take some of that to heart as well. And Anuj, I know that's all we have for time, but I'm really glad we got to unpack some of these exciting ideas. Thank you so much for being able to be with us.
It was great being with you, and thanks for letting me share, Dan.
Drawing a close to today's episode, some points I think that were brought up in the discussion that bear some greater spotlight. There are increased interactions with tech companies, raising customer expectations throughout financial services. Due to limited budgets, operations leaders are turning to AI solutions for these workflows. Anuj, throughout the episode, emphasizes the importance of directing customers towards the most effective channels for an optimal customer journey and architectural experience. Leaders often prioritize the desirability and feasibility of AI use cases, but clients may struggle with implementation despite having a high level of AI knowledge. Developing Gen AI use cases requires a cross-functional team involving experts in analytics, IT, operations, and creative thinkers. Companies will experiment with using generative AI to assist human customer service representatives, potentially reducing after-call work time by 3 minutes. Customer-facing applications of generative AI may have less significant consequences or be less embarrassing than if exposed directly to customers. Generative AI can improve customer service by personalizing outreach messages and predicting issues before they arise. While stretching predictive capabilities with generative AI can add value, our guest advises against replacing the entire processes with that technology. Anuj emphasizes furthermore that despite significant cost pressures associated with generative AI, it can lead to a reduction in contact center staff without compromising quality. On behalf of Daniel Fajella, our CEO and head of research, as well as the rest of the team here at Emerge Technology Research, thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll catch you next time on the AI in Business podcast.